Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Roster Doctor, where we fix up your roster. I'm joined by, I actually don't know how to properly pronounce your username. Is it Dizard, Dizzard? Like, what is the exact pronunciation?
It's Dizzard like lizard.
Okay.
That's the easiest way to say it, you know.
Okay, so Dizzard, your... God, there's so many accolades I have to put to you. You're essentially the man behind all of the organized play in the Tabletop Simulator League. I think you ran all three of the leagues. I know you were for 2 and 3.
I can't take all the credit for the first two. Gronko helped out a lot. And so he helped out a lot where he could. And then you got the other guys who were part of the mod team who gave input on certain things. And then now I got you and Dr. Norbert helping out with season 3, and it's making things so much easier, to be completely honest. But yeah, I took a big part in setting up the first two and going through the struggles of learning how to actually do event organizing.
Yeah, and on top of that, you're also a podcaster. You do Danger Room with Jacob and Sploosh. Sploosh was the previous episode. I think Jacob might actually be the next episode. I'm slowly collecting all the Marvel Crisis Protocol podcasters and just like getting them on as guests.
I mean, that's the way to do it. You just get all the other people first, and then, you know, everybody already has the good mic quality already set up most of the time.
Yeah. It's a perfect pre-selector. It's kind of like I watch a lot of esports, and there's like some players who will do real well, and it turns out they never come on like talk shows or anything because like their English is bad or they're just like super like shy and not talkative. And so like self-selecting for the people who like talking is quality. But I brought you here specifically to talk about your roster from the Tabletop Simulator Season 2 League, because we have had a serious underrepresentation of Guardians of the Galaxy on the show so far. And so, once again, for the listeners, I think this is going to be the last episode that we're doing out of Season 2 rosters. So this one specifically is right before Thanos and Web Warriors and Green Goblin came out. Might be some differences that we'll talk about later, including those releases and the Defenders releases that are going live next Friday. Pardon me. But yeah, let's just hop into it. So for your characters, you had Star-Lord, Gamora, Nebula, Proxima, Corvus, Ronan, Shuri, Power Gem, Drax, Rocket. And so the first thing that stands out to me is you did not take Groot with Rocket.
I did not.
And so I know some people were really hot on always taking them together at the start. And then it kind of seems like over time people have become less and less in love with Groot.
Yeah, I think Groot really just fell out just because you actually had other options to be able to throw in there. And this was also when new stuff came out when I had this roster. So it was more or less testing to see where I liked certain things.
Mm-hmm. The other interesting pick to me is Shuri, specifically because your leader, Star-Lord, is typically a bit of a back range character. And you also have Rocket, who is... I assume very commonly coming into your lists because he's, I think, very aggressively costed as a back range character. So, like, once you start committing 8 points of your 15 to 20 on backline characters, you could start having problems with your front line. Did you pull in Shuri very often?
Towards the end, I started to. Her main reason for being there is bringing some sort of control, because most of the other characters don't have a push or a throw. So I really needed something in there to help control the playfield.
Yeah. And so I did a little bit of Tabletop Simulator archaeology for this, and I believe you played almost the same roster for the second half of the Season 2 League in the top 16 cut. Is that correct? I don't know how big the differences were.
Oh, see, now I'm trying to think. I think it was the same thing, except for I believe I dropped Corvus. I don't remember correctly or not.
You had Corvus in... So this is your top 16 roster. I think the difference is you had Hawkeye instead of Shuri.
Oh, yep. No, that's right. Because I hadn't taken Shuri yet. And I finally allowed myself to take Shuri for the top 16 because it was at the point where it's like, I'm not really playing at this list anymore. It's more of a, let me see how competitive this list can actually be with throwing Shuri in there. Because at the time, she was considered a highly competitive character. I think she still is now, but it was just something that I didn't have in my list and I needed some sort of control. I don't even remember if I actually took her in my one game at the top 16.
And then the final thing I want to point out here is that you brought Corvus Proxima. And so at the, at the point that you were fielding them, I feel like you were, well, you were an early adopter because they would have just come out. But I feel like people didn't really quite fall in love with them until the reality gem. And the, at least from my point of view, they're one of the power picks for Tabletop Simulator League Season 3. That's a mouthful. but I don't believe they were that popular in Season 2 because Corvus Proxima, like the damage output wasn't quite high enough without the reality gem. And the time gem was too expensive from what I saw. I mean, you didn't take the time gem. So
for me, the biggest thing that I brought them in with Guardians for is I could run wide and be able to have a chance to maintain priority. That was the biggest plus of bringing them in there, as well as Proxima's great at closing gaps. And that's basically like my two main points for bringing them was Proxima's really good. And then I just brought Corvus along for the husband and wife. And that's
which is funny because I feel like nowadays it's the other way around. You really want Corvus and Proxima's kind of the dead weight. Maybe she's a rocket boots drop off vector, but outside of that, she's just kind of there. And then let's switch over into your tactics. You had drop off, disarm, field dressing, follow me, med pack, brace for impact, crew the Milano, and sacrifice. The one that stands out to me here is follow me. Because that means you're between that and the Corvus Proxima pair, you're able to force priority a lot more than Guardians typically will. Because they, as we'll see when we get into this, they tend to play pretty wide.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Is I just brought it for another option. If I play Corvus Proxima to get another leg up on priority, as well as just if I didn't take them to give me that same leg up, because I started really liking priority with Guardians, because I kind of took them as more of a, my goal with them was more of the kill or the KO aspect instead of the objective aspect.
And then the other one is, I know at the time, going back into more game archaeology, Through the Milano was very heavily maligned at the time, I feel like. It seems like there weren't quite enough statuses to where people felt it was worth it. And I remember seeing a lot of Guardians rosters that straight up didn't take Crew of the Milano just because if you had a status applied to you, you were probably going to die imminently anyways.
So I agree. And I'm at the time, I thought like it might come into a play if I come across like a mirror match with Guardians. Because at that time, Guardians were like the biggest condition givers out there, in my opinion. Especially with Proxima coming out. So it's like you had a possibility of being able to accrue, I don't know, like 3 to 4 conditions in one turn or something like that. It was crazy. So I was like, I'm going to drop it in here. And if I see these characters across from me, then I'll actually take it. I don't remember actually taking it other than one time. And then I ended up burning it instead of using it. So to me, it's still considered a card. If you're more often than not going to end up burning it.
Yeah, and then so what was your core five? Because we've talked about follow me. We've talked about Crew the Milano. What was your like? I'm always going to take this core set kind of deal.
So for me, the core, of course, Star Lord. And then I really liked Gamora Nebula. Just because of the speed, and like I said, I was going for more of a kill focus. So I guess my core would be Star-Lord, Gamora, Nebula, Proxima, and then that's pretty much the core, and then it flexed after there for point value.
Yeah, so that's a 12-point base. You have a drop-off enabler. Are you always playing drop-off, or...?
Almost always, and it almost always went on Gamora.
Yep, I can definitely see that, because that actually lets her do a move into an attack pretty easily, or even double attack, which is really nice for opening turns, especially with how fragile she is. If you're not getting priority and she's out there in the middle, she probably gets dazed a lot.
Yeah, which is where it comes back to me trying to force the priority, especially with me playing such fragile characters. If I can get that Alpha Strike out there, then it just made for a much easier game in Gamordon and die round two.
Yeah. And then the last card I noticed was Sacrifice. how often did you actually find yourself playing Sacrifice?
If I played Ronin, I played Sacrifice. And I will say I got this trick from Todd from the Turn Zero podcast. He brought it up to me one time. He's like, they were trying to figure out how to make Ronin take damage, because obviously like one of Ronin's biggest things is if he gets dazed or KO'd, he's going to Kree Justice you. So it's like, well, nobody wants to attack Ronin because he's just going to blast them unless they can control how he attacks them. So I'm going to take Sacrifice, use it to protect my weaker characters, and put the damage onto somebody who I actually want the damage to be on.
Yeah, I definitely like that little tech there. Let's quickly kick on over to your crises. So for extracts, you took Alien Ship Crashes in Downtown, Fear Grips World as Worthy Terrorized Cities, and Panic Grip City as Evacuation Efforts Continue. And then for your secures, you took Deadly Meteors Mutate Civilians, Gamma Wave Sweeps Across Midwest, and Infinity Formula Goes Missing. The most interesting one here to me was a Gamma Wave, because I feel like MODOK would love playing into Guardians, and so giving him, you would never want to intentionally give him his preferred crisis.
No, Gamma Wave, it's that card that's in there as the bluff saying, I know how to play this scenario. Even though it's not my matchup that I want. It's like kind of the same thing as people throw in a Wakanda Herbs just to threaten, like, hey, I may or may not have a list built just for Wakanda Herbs. Because typically when you look at people's crisis that they have in the roster, you think that they're prepared for every single one that they have. So it's kind of just like that little bluff of, hey, I have Gamma, I'm not afraid to play it. So throw it at me if you want. And I mean, it sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Some people see right through it and they can look at your roster and say, yeah, you are not ready for Gamma. Like the only thing that really kind of saved me in that aspect is I have Shuri, and Shuri is amazing on Gamma. But yeah, it's basically like the bluff card.
The other very interesting one to me was Panic Grip City as Evacuation Efforts Continue. Because so traditionally, from my experience, you want to play Panic when you have high power generation. So typically Asgard or Cabal. And with Guardians, you typically are running wide with characters that aren't necessarily generating a ton of power. And they're relatively fragile, which means they're going to get, like, whoever you're putting it on, unless it's like Ronin, or maybe to a lesser extent, like Corvus Proxima, they're going to get dazed pretty quickly. Did you find yourself ever intentionally opting into evacuation?
So evacuation next to Kree Corps is actually one of my favorite scenarios to play with Guardians. If I get priority and I get the extracts, or if I just get the extracts, I try to force Panic Grips. Just because Star-Lord with the power gem means you can turn into Citizen round one or round two.
Star-Lord specifically can do it, but then your other one's relatively fragile.
So it becomes kind of like a ballet, for lack of better terms, of a super fine balance of when do you cash in, you kind of learn when you're playing Guardians, like, I'm going to die. Like, my characters are going to get dazed and they're going to go down. There's no stopping that, and they're going to go down rather quickly. Just because they're super flimsy, but they pack a punch. So it matters if you can pack that punch first. So I really liked Panic Grips because it kind of let me go in, pack a punch, steal their citizen, cash their citizen in, while my people who can't generate as much power or holding on to my citizens. So like Star-Lord with his three power a turn, he'd go after my opponent's citizens and cash their citizens in. And it kind of just gives me, when it would actually work out, it worked out really well. But there were a lot of times where it didn't work out quite how I planned. Just because dice be dice. And yeah, they are flimsy. So it does happen, but it was fun when I could get it to work. But I really just enjoyed Citizens because you put there's a lot more variables in the game to think about. Like, okay, well, my opponent has two citizens. I have two. He doesn't have the power to cash in. There could be a big point swing this turn by cashing them in. If I could take him out and then cash in his citizen, then it's even better. So I like the variables with it, and I like how the scenario plays out. And Power Gem Star Lord is really easy to turn them in early game.
Yeah, and overall, I really like how you went high threat with your set of crises, because with the way your team's built, you're going to see less disparity at like the 18s, the 19s, and the 20s than you are at like the 15 and the 17 in terms of number of characters. So you can try and force some prio stuff there.
Yeah, they're very, very good at high threat, just because you can actually play wide like you want to. And like when you're playing wide like that, let's say 20, and I'm getting, I guess we'll go into that a little bit later, but like I love 20 threat. Like I love Alien Ship Crashes Down. A lot of people hated it up until recently, it seems like. Like looking at the Season 3 analytics, a lot of people are taking Kreekor. When Season 2, I felt like I was one of the only ones. It was very few people, but I loved forcing Kreekor. That was my other one to go for, which just because not everybody prepares for 20 because nobody wants to play at 20. especially with how slow that scenario is, nobody really prepares for it. And it was really kind of funny because throughout Season 2, every time I drop Kreekor, I could hear my opponent say, man, give me a minute. It's going to take me a second to think about what I want to play. I'm like, okay.
Like, yeah, exactly. I definitely don't like playing 20.
Yeah. And it's a fun scenario for me, especially because with Guardians, when you're running 6 to 7 wide character lists, you have 6 to 7 options who can all get to that Kreekor and roll for it on round one.
I can dig it. Let's kick on over. So we're going to go through starting with 15 threat. And I just want to point this out for the listeners. This roster has the highest number of team variations that I've seen out of any team so far. Like it's like 40 for every threat level, like 40 teams that you could possibly play, all under the same affiliation too. There's so many options.
Yeah,
just because of the wide number of low point characters, there's lots of weird little combinations.
Yeah, it makes it really difficult when it comes down to actively picking your team for the game. It's like we're looking at 15th right here. And I'll point out the one right away that I would always go for, and that's Star-Lord, Proxima, Gamora, Nebula, Rocket, Power Gem. That's like my go-to 15, just because it has super high damage output like right out the gate.
Yeah, I like how you have a mix of frontline and backline there, and it's all very mobile.
Yeah, it's you got three long movement characters that it just comes into a fun little game of you think I'm over here. Like this is what I would do with this list a lot is I would deploy all my characters basically to one side, and then round one I'd send my characters that were staying that side up, and then I'd send 2 to 3 of my lawn movers completely over to the right side of the game and completely catch the person off guard just because they were expecting me to stay true to one side. So it's a fun little game.
Yeah, I definitely love deployment and opening move shenanigans like that. How often would you find yourself playing Corvus Proxima at 15? You only have two options that let you stay affiliated. So essentially it's Star-Lord, Corvus Proxima, Drax, and then either Nebula or Rocket.
At 15, I don't believe I ever played them together. I didn't like the restriction to it.
That's entirely fair. So at 15 points, you're always either playing Herbs or Gamma Wave or both. And so the durability of them, with their flat damage reduction, was never attractive, like both of them together on a Gamma Wave scenario?
No, not really. And it was like, like my main purpose for bringing them again was to help me maintain priority.
Yeah.
And at 15th threat, I'm at 5, and your typical roster is going to be 4 to 5 characters at 15.
Well, if you win the roll-off and you have a Corvus Proxima 5 team against a 4 team, you maintain prio until somebody gets dazed before they activate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true, true. Yeah, I guess for me, my biggest thing again is I just didn't like how it felt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because especially looking at the ones with Corvus and Proxima in there, I don't really like those lineups, because with the one with Corvus, Proxima, and Nebula Rocket, you're really like you're limited to your frontline people.
Oh yeah, there's the third
person
one, yeah.
Who you can't grab objectives with Nebula. Proxima is going to go down pretty quickly, and then Corvus is kind of just sitting at the middle of the field. So you really I made like a kill focus game, but I like going for teams that can kill and then score objectives.
No, I can definitely respect that. Is there any particular thing you would try and force if you think your opponent's going to put down Gamma to pair well and play the 15 threat game with your extracts?
I think I force Citizens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If it was like if I had to pick extracts, it was like, again, I was like, I'd pick Citizens or I'd pick Recore. It's one of those things that you just don't know going into the game what they're going to play. But I guess if I had to pick one to pair with Gamma specifically, I think I would take Recore, just because you can go for that middle point and not worry about trying to shoot off to the sides.
Yeah, play a slow game where you're trying to always get the three off the shelters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can dig that. Let's bump up to 16. So right now, the only 16 in the game wasn't out for the purposes of the league. That's Black Order Descends. Let's see, let me pull that up. Yeah, that's the only 16. So obviously you didn't build this list with Black Order Descends in mind, but so you would be playing one of your extracts, presumably, because you don't have it in your roster. So how would you approach building a 16 threat team for Cosmic plus one of your extracts at 16?
So in this case, kind of looking at these, I wouldn't take Ronin and I wouldn't take Shuri, because that D scenario is, I believe that one's D because it's the diamond, right?
Yep. It's D, you score a point for every vault you're on, and then crit or wild, you get 2 power, and you get pushed away from the vault. So you do get a little bit of control, but your opponent also does.
Yeah, so it's like Ronin and Shuri kind of become an issue there, just because I did play a few D scenarios with Shuri and Ronin, and I didn't quite like them there, just because they like to, mostly Ronin likes to have everybody in one little area. So we can throw out as much judgment as he can. And then Shuri likes to be within a certain distance so she could throw out the upgrades. So looking at all these, if I had to pick one, I think my go-to for 16 would be Star-Lord, Proxima, Gamora, Drax, Nebula, Power Gem.
And then so Star-Lord, Gamora, Ronin, Drax?
Star-Lord, Proxima, Gamora, Drax, and Nebula, and then the Power Gem.
Okay, yeah. And then, so presumably you're going to park Star-Lord on your home D, and then what's your flank configuration look like?
The flank, I'd probably send Gamora and Nebula on one side, and then Drax and Proxima on the other side. It also kind of depends on how the other person set up. Unless I'm trying to just like hard flank, I'd probably send Gamora, Proxima, Drax, and then send Nebula up the other side to go after the person who is by themselves. Because that's always fun to do, is if I set up hard on one side, save Nebula for last, because your opponent will more than likely at least send one person to the other side. And then Nebula can just go nuke that person.
Yeah, and then what extract would you try and force pair into Black Order?
So With that D, I believe.
Do you want the game dead or live with cities?
I think this one I'd actually want to go for hammers.
Just fully commit to the D?
Yeah, just fully commit to it and try to use the hammers to help me take people out. Because it comes in, like, I think hammers, and coming back to hammers real quick, I think it's great for Guardians just because I don't need to play tactics cards.
Yeah, I can burn them. You can always cash them in.
Yeah, so I kind of like hammers with Guardians a lot just because you really don't care about the extra point value.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And you've got a lot of wide characters that all love the guns, pretty much.
Yeah.
Not the guns, the hammers. The bonus dice on their attacks.
Oh, yeah. No, like hammers, everybody on Guardians loves hammers, in my opinion. And that hasn't changed one bit.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to 17 threat, which is the broadest possible combination in the game. This could be anything. So how often are you tailoring your team specifically to the scenario combination here? Or is there a particular 17 you're looking to as like a comfort? I know how to play this team. It can deploy pretty okay into anything. I'm going to play this because these are all the pieces I like working with.
Infinity formula, hands down.
But okay, so you're looking for infinity formula. If you don't get infinity formula, does that change what your roster looks like?
I don't believe so. I'm trying to remember because it's been a while since I played this. No, because I'm pretty sure with 17, it was like my core, Ronin, and Power Gem. Yeah, because that's 17 right there. Star-Lord, Gamora, Proxima, Nebula, Ronin, Power Gem. I think that's 17.
So Star-Lord with the Power Gem is 4, Ronin is 4, Gamora is 4, so that's 12. Rocket, right?
And then Proxima? I'll go with Nebula.
Nebula and Proxima. Nebula. Yeah, that's 17.
I use Nebula a lot more, yeah. So, and that's a super wide, I mean, not really super, but it's a pretty wide list that has a lot of
You've got 5 characters. I think you're happy with B or D, which are the most spread out.
And then everybody that's there likes the power bonus.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're pretty happy if Infinity Formula comes up on 17.
Yeah, and then you kind of look back at it, and I guess it is kind of like gaming the meta, but I mean, it's kind of one of the things you have to look at if you have these resources available to you. It's like, what scenarios are people forcing more often than not? And then back then, you'd see a lot of Gamma, you'd see a lot of Infinity Formula, and you'd see a lot of Hammers and Citizens. So that was like your key list to build for. So 17, like, I'd expect to see Infinity Formula or Extremist consoles.
Yeah, I think Extremist was very popular with Cabal because they're flush with power, more so than anyone else. So they're like, okay, we'll abuse this better than you. At least that's how I saw it.
I'd agree with that statement.
Yeah. Is there any particularly wacky combination where you would change things up? I'm trying to go through them here. Like something like Meteors plus... what's a weird extract? Meteors plus herbs, let's say, where you've got to play super front. Well, your team's already pretty frontline there, so I guess you probably would want to change it up.
I'd probably play the same thing. I might throw Drax in there just to keep throwing the herb guy back away from going to score.
Yeah.
So I might if it's herbs, I might throw Drax or Shuri into that 3 slot.
I can see that, yeah. Some control to try and delay the scoring on that one and just play for turn 6. Or round 6. I like that. 18. So, 18. At the time of the league, the only one was Hammers. We now have portals over on City with Spider People. But so you're trying to force Hammers here. This is 1 point more than the team we previously discussed. I'm assuming you upgrade Nebula here from your 17-point team?
So if I remember correctly, a lot of times with this one, I would go with, especially in like my testing, I would go with, this would be where I start doing Proxima Corvus. So that Proxima Corvus Drax Nebula Rocket List is that looks really nice to me right now. Mm-hmm. Where's another one at? See, I see a Proxima Corvus Ronin Drax. That one looks pretty good too to me. But I think this is where I started using Proxima and Corvus. So I'm trying to think. There's a lot of Power Gem ones. I remember it was really hard for me not to take Gamora for a lot of my lists. I really just fell in love with Gamora instantly. So I tried to force her in. Like, she was like my linchpin and I guess weakness at that point too, just because I forced myself to put her into the game. Even if it wasn't the best option, just because she was so much fun to drop off and murder people.
I think Star-Lord, Corvus Proxima, Gamora, Nebula, Rocket, very solid team.
Oh yeah, that's like absolute go-to. It's
or you can trade in Nebula and Rocket for Drax and Power Gem, but
mm-hmm.
that's if you want to play a more compact team and you want to try and force the pseudo four character priority at 18 and see if you can get away with it. Yeah, I dig it. 19. So 19, this is where we're starting to actually come down to reasonable numbers of team combinations. At this point, it is just Panic Grip City's evacuation efforts continue, which we talked about. So you definitely want the Power Gem for Star-Lord here. So I'm assuming you're going to do something like Star-Lord, Corvus Proxima, Gamora, Nebula, Rocket, Power Gem.
So that one, or... where is it? The Star-Lord, Proxima, Gamora, Ronin, Nebula, Rocket, Power Gem. That one is a lot of fun, just because you can go... You control the field most of the... Like, you don't really control the field, but you have the threat presence on all over the game board. It's because of how wide you are.
Do you ever try and consider one of the five character options here? Because virtually all of them are six characters or six characters plus a gem.
I started going to that towards the end of like my practice stuff, but for all my league games, I believe I was at least six characters.
Mm-hmm.
But then when Ronin came out and Drax, I started realizing I was playing a lot more five character games, just because I was trying them out and seeing where they fit in and all that. But I think at 19, I want the more, just especially if I'm trying to force citizens, I want to be able to have more options to be able to cash in citizens and pick them up and hold on to citizens. So
yeah, the biggest one,
the one that stands out to me the most on this little list that we got here is the Star-Lord, Proxima, Corvus, Ronin, Nebula, Rocket. That one looks like a lot of fun to me.
Power Gem, right?
Gamora. No, that's with Power Gem,
okay,
too.
Yeah.
It's not Gamora, but...
One of the fun things is you have so many options with Guardians, because since there's so many low-point pieces, as long as you don't mind not consistently having priority, you can have a lot of modularity. You can pick just whatever feels right on the day.
It's pretty much like what's the flavor of the game today, you know, like what do I feel like they want.
That's definitely the opposite of whenever I play Cabal. You're playing end of story, like maybe Thor Loki if you want to be frisky, but you're playing MODOK.
Yeah, pretty much.
Whereas this, it's like the world's your oyster.
It's I can play whatever I want.
And then 20 threat. So this is still only alien ship crashes in downtown, even after all the releases. So here you have to play six characters no matter what. It's not like 19 threat where you can actually force yourself down into five. And you actually have a seven character option with Star-Lord, Proxima, Gamora, Shuri, Drax, Nebula, Rocket. I'm assuming you're not playing that super often. Well, I mean, like, once you're losing priority, you might as well super lose priority, I guess.
Honestly, like, that list sounds very familiar. I remember playing it at least once. But I think
unfortunately, my archaeology, I couldn't find the exact teams you played on every given match. I think some of them were streamed, right? I've had a hard time running down all the streamed matches.
Yeah, I remember. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, this is what I forced for the my one round of the finals that I was in. Because I think I had priority, and I'm pretty sure I forced the pre-core.
Yeah, you played against Chewy. I forget what he was playing against. The top 16. Asgard and Cabal, I believe.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I've got it made here. Thor, Hela, Loki, Valkyrie, Venom, Vision, Black Dwarf, Red Skull, Killmonger, Zemo. And yeah, just generically good Asgard and Cabal stuff. Do you remember what he played into you?
Let me see. What am I trying to remember now? I might be able to. No, because we didn't play that. I don't remember. I remember. I think it was Asgard.
I remember Asgard was really popular at the tail end of season 2. Cabal like top 4 at everything, but Asgard was like the close second.
Yeah, I remember like the biggest thing I remember about the game is I made some very major mistakes early on in the game that just kind of snowballed into making the game not go my way quite so much. It happens. Everybody makes mistakes. But I believe I went with a list that I wasn't very practiced with or fond of because I wanted to try something, which is not the time to try something. When I should have just gone with the Proxima Corvus at that 20 threat level. I think Proxima Corvus at the 20 threat level is the way to go with what I had going on.
Force yourself down to 5, which means that you're on bio parity. So if you won the roll off, you're going to keep it until you daze someone. And if you didn't win the roll off, then as soon as they daze somebody, you immediately get prio. I think that's definitely very powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. That's pretty much my goal. That 20, if I'm thinking straight and not just, hey, let's try to see how it works out.
So actually a bit of a detour here, but so Guardians are definitely the opposite of having priority, I feel like. And I think it was really smart to put Follow Me and Corvus Proxima in. But I feel like at the very least, Season 3 of the Tabletop Simulator League has been incredibly forcing priority focused. Because some of the most fighty teams are like Cabal or Corvus Proxima shells, where they're trying to go first on round 2 and daze a bunch of important characters and kind of propagate that out. Was that as much of the case with the season 2 meta, or were you fine seeding priority a bit?
I was honestly fine, really, just with whatever, to be completely honest. Corvus Proxima really weren't everywhere. Like the biggest threats in season 2 was Thor and MODOK for whatever reason. Like MODOK, sure, like he's always there, and Thor, almost everybody had a Thor, and I don't know if we just didn't have the correct tools to knock him down a peg at that time.
Thor had insane numbers. He was like 85% of the league.
Yeah.
And like 40% of the league was running Thor when they physically couldn't even run an Avengers, not Avengers, Asgardian team. He was just splashed everywhere.
Yeah, and he goes really well in the Guardians. So it's a lot of the big, like, who am I going to be facing? It's like you can expect to see a Thor, you can expect to see a MODOK, and those were like your two big ones. Shuri was up there too, but Shuri. You can take Shuri out easily if you can get to her. Which Guardians shouldn't have an issue getting to her with their ranked people that they have.
Yeah, she can only push away 2 characters.
Yeah.
And you have long movers, so even if she pushes you away short, there's no guarantee that you won't just get onto her anyways.
Yeah, so I don't think, I wanted to try and force the priority a lot of times. But I also felt fine not getting priority. I also found myself taking Brace less and less as the league went on. Which was kind of funny because Brace is still considered like one of the top tier cards, but I think it locks people into a, like, I have to take Brace. And in my opinion, especially nowadays, I don't think you have to take Brace anymore.
I feel like its stock's been rising in season 3, but towards the tail end of season 2, it was definitely kind of going down, I feel like.
So I think the one thing, like let's say, I think something that we're seeing is a lot more characters, I'm kind of going off a tangent here, but a lot of characters coming out recently have higher health pools, and people are going to be playing these newer characters. So let's take a look at, like, Spider Foes. Your typical Spider Foes character's health is anywhere between 5 and 7. So you got Venom and Goblin at 7 on their healthy side. So they're not going to get one-shotted by a building or another character. And that's kind of like where I take Brace for.
You say that, but I've seen people rid. I forget who I was playing, but they put Captain America onto a side D flank. And I walked up. I think I did like a random point of damage to him somewhere. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll throw this size 3 building at him. And he literally doesn't roll a single success and he gets dazed on the bottom of one. I'm like, ah, I guess I win this game now.
I'll agree. Like, yes, it is a
but very good it's card. High variance. It's harder
to, yeah, it's also harder to fit it in now.
Tactic slots are way tighter than ever before, especially with all you've got. Oh man.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to deliberate on your 8 cards.
Oh man, if I had all you've got in season 2 with Gamora in that Guardians list, I think that's a, or even Star-Lord. Or Ronan. Anybody.
Pretty much your whole team loves it. Except for like Rocket, and even Rocket, if he's juiced enough, he'll love that. Like, if you can like somehow quadruple Hadron Enforcer, what's it called? Right?
No, I think the most you'd be able to do it is 3 times.
Yeah, I'm thinking of if you had Groot, you might be able to Deadly Duo in the middle. To build up power to do it 2 more times. Okay, that's the dream, but Rocket, that's a little bullshit.
Rocket, attack, or Rocket, Haldren, Deadly Duo. No, because you don't have the power for that, though, so you need 2 and 2. So yeah, you could do 4, 8, 2. So you could, if you were at 10 power, you could Haldren, Deadly Duo, get the power for all you've got, and then be able to do probably a Haldren and then another attack. So 3 3 Haldrens and 1 regular shot.
That would be a sight to see.
Yeah. On top of it, that would be a massive rocket turn. Imagine a little 2-threat character taking out 3 to 4 characters is what I would hope for.
Yeah, it's like you just spent a full power stack and 2 tactics cards to turn Rocket into MODOK for a turn.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we've covered 20 well enough at this point. Are there any passing remarks you want to make on 20 before we move on?
Not on 20. No, I think we did that pretty well.
Okay, let's move on to our next segment where we talk about 3 hypothetical crisis combinations. So the first one is going to be civilians plus Gamma Wave.
Mm-hmm.
So you're playing 19 or 15. If you have Prio, you're forcing 19, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't want to play that at 15. That sounds really gross.
Okay, and do you think you deviate from the 19 threat teams we talked about to play something that goes more up the vertical column of Gamma Wave a bit better? Or are you happy with your 19?
I think because with Gamma Wave in there, it makes me want to throw in Ronan.
Yeah, he's great on just like sitting in the middle. It's like if you take me out, I'm gonna walk up and probably take someone out with me.
Yeah. So Gamma Wave, I throw in Ronan. That'd probably be it.
Okay.
So probably drop Corvus and pick up Ronan.
Okay, so you're giving up some of your priority tech here. Does that mean you try and pull in Follow Me to kind of make up for that? Yeah.
That's what makes sense to me is drop and Follow Me to be able to try and get a similar effect. Save it for a good turn where I know it'll be days and people.
Yep. No, I like that. Next, we have Hammers plus Extremis. So this is a double D scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think you're pretty happy with. What are you forcing here? 18 or 17?
I'd actually go for 17 on this one.
Okay. And then do you take the power gem here, or do you try and split the power amongst your characters a little bit better across your team?
I think I don't take the power gem here. I don't really have a reason for it. Stellar will get the extra die, so his doing a 6 die blaster shot for his 0 cost will be pretty nice. Because I always try to pick up a hammer with Star-Lord. He loves hammers.
Yep.
So I don't think I take the power gem unless I decide, for whatever reason, that I really want Ronin in there on that D scenario. Once, like I said earlier, I'm not a fan of Ronin on D. But if I decide I want to take him on there, then I'll throw the power gem on Ronin, because then he actually becomes more useful on that D scenario.
Are you forcing Corvus Proxima here, or are you going with...
See, this is where, like I said, like I don't like Ronin, and I think this is the 17 is where I did force the Corvus Proxima.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Finally, we have Alien Ship plus Black Order Descends. So technically, this couldn't have been, maybe it could have been played if you made it to like the top 8 of like the world finals or whatever. But I don't believe it was playable in the top 16. I don't remember how the releases worked with that, because this
game we didn't. We decided to, for the end of season 2, we'd let season 2 close out pre Thanos. So Thanos stuff wasn't included at all for season 2. So you didn't get Reality Gem, you didn't get the scenario, and you didn't get Thanos all of season 2.
Ooh. Yep.
So.
Okay, but in this hypothetical world, are you playing 20 or are you playing 16?
I am playing 20.
Yep.
Just because, like I talked about earlier, I loved forcing Alien Ship, and I loved forcing the 20 because people aren't what they weren't as prepared for 20 as, in my opinion, they should have been.
Yep. And does this change up your choice of a 20 threat team, or are you changing things up going for a smaller team?
If I remember correctly, I said I like Ronin at 20, but because of the D scenario, it makes me want to go Corvus Proxima. So Corvus Ronin.
I think at 20 you can do both, right?
No, possibly.
There's got to be at least one. Oh yeah, yeah. So you've got like Star Lord, Corvus Proxima, Gamora, Ronin, Rocket. Let's say.
Yeah. That
or the same thing with Nebula, depending on how you feel. Yeah. You need to get across the board.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Yeah, I'd probably go for that one, to be honest. Just like if I want him, then sure. But like I said, I'm not a fan of Ronin on Z's. So.
Yeah, and especially if one that pushes you around, that's got to be really annoying for him.
Yeah, he's not a very quick boy.
Okay, and then the final segment changes. So now we're in a hypothetical world. Let's say you're looking at the second half of season 3, which will be in 2 weeks, and we'll have Ghost Rider, we'll have Stranger Wong, I think we'll have Ant-Man and Wasp?
Yep.
How do you change up this list? Is there any underperformer that you take out? Because it feels like you actually did a pretty good job of like taking most of these characters at some threat level. Like Drax was probably the most underrepresented, and or like Rocket / Nebula seemed a little bit interchangeable. Do you pull any of those three out for something else? Do you try and fit in the Reality Gem to kind of lean into Corvus Proxima? Are there any character changes you want to make and keep this a Guardians team?
So for Guardians, I honestly believe that I drop Corvus and Proxima and pick up Ghost Rider and Green Goblin.
Holy spicy meatballs.
it offsets the threat a little bit, but and I might even, with taking Green Goblin, it might even be a drop Drax for Doc Ock, because they kind of play the same role.
Whoa, that is massive.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, So yeah, I would drop those three for those three if I was to play Guardians going into the next half.
So sell me on Ghost Rider, because I feel like even Defenders players don't want to play Ghost Rider. It feels like only Avengers players really want to play Ghost Rider right now.
So honestly, I think the only place Ghost Rider actually really wants to be is in Web Warriors. That's my personal opinion. I think he wants to be in Web Warriors just because of they try to supplement his biggest weakness, and that's his defense. Avengers, I can see it just because you're going to have Cap there bodyguarding him.
Yeah, bodyguarding plus he's got the cost to crit punishment thing.
Yeah.
So you can play him between Cap and Cap's leadership. You can play him forwards and keep him safe. I think that's very attractive.
So I can see Avengers. But like when I look at him, especially with that tactic card, I want to throw him into Guardians just because you're going to have a plethora of characters that you don't care to just KO.
That's definitely a very cute interaction. Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you don't need it, then you just trade it for winning the tokens. I also think that he wouldn't mind having some rerolls on Penance Stare. yeah. But that's I think it's a cute idea. I don't know necessarily think he like makes or breaks Guardians, but I just think he would be fun just to try out a couple times to see how he plays into them. The big one that I actually like think would be really cool in Guardians though is Green Goblin. He's the one that would like worth my life to do for sure.
So yeah, I could definitely see kind of like a status stacking kind of thing between him and Star-Lord. But then you cut out Proxima, who's also a really good status stacker here.
If I didn't take Ghost Rider, it'd be keep Proxima, drop Corvus, drop Drax, so that I would add Green Goblin and Doc Ock. Doc Ock for Drax, Goblin for Corvus, and that's straight, it's a straight up swap because it's four threat for four threat and three for three, so it makes it a lot easier. Ghost Rider makes it really kind of difficult, but I'm really curious to see how he plays. But Green Goblin, you swap him into that spot, you have another mover can go on, another person you can apply conditions.
If you can drop off Ronan.
You could drop off Ronan. If you bring Doc Ock with him, because I would bring Red Light Plants with that to try and get squeezed.
This is a total facelift.
Yeah, it would make it more of a condition.
At that point, would you want to just fully make this a dual affiliation between Guardians and Spider Foes? Because all you need to do is have Venom in there, and then you could try an Audible into that. I feel like the affiliation's a little bit incomplete right now, and there's no compelling reason to actually go Spider Foes, because Well-Laid Plans doesn't require you to go Spider Foes, and unless you really want that leadership, there's essentially no reason.
Yeah, so I'm actually currently playing Spider Foes, and... Yes, I'm playing Spider-Foes Web Warriors, but I don't know why, but I think what would happen if I did that is I would end up playing Spider-Foes more just because I love Green Goblin. I think he's great. So I'd probably just end up making bad matchup choices just because I want to play Green Goblin.
That's fair. He's such a fun and fascinating character. I've kind of like put him on the back burner until Fisk. Fisk at the very least comes out because he's a month away.
Yeah, I think he's gonna give them what they need, and that's options. they're just limited too much right now.
Yeah, it'll be definitely interesting to see. We already kind of touched on tactics you wanted to bring in, so deal with the devil for Ghost Rider, well laid plans.
And what comes out? I think what comes out, I'd probably drop Follow Me. I'd probably stop forcing the priority just because the kind of all the whole aspect of my team kind of changes at that point. Some more so going for objectives.
You also seemed pretty down on Brace as well.
Yeah, I'd probably drop Brace. I don't remember if I had Field Dressing in there. I'd probably throw Field Dressing back in.
The Field Dressing's in. Okay. So it's drop off, disarm, Field Dressing, Follow Me, Med Pack, Brace, Crew, Sacrifice.
That's right. So I'd probably drop Crew. I'd drop Follow Me. Brace and
Follow Me.
And Brace.
Or do you take out Disarm? How often did you actually field Disarm? I feel like
I played Disarm almost every single game. I love this. I fell in love with Disarm just because throwing shock on somebody and then disarming them, making them minus three dice for their whole entire round is super nasty. Especially when I'm trying to sit there and force the priority. So the turns I get priority, go out there, put disarm on somebody, shoot them with Star-Lord, put shock on them, and it's their turns essentially shut off for that character.
Out of curiosity, since we're in the tactics session, Daughters of Thanos, did you ever dojo with that?
I looked at it and I said, I don't like the restrictions that I need to do to meet this card, or the requirements rather. I'm not even going to bother with it.
That's fair. Because I feel like when people have talked about this card, a lot of the people are like, yeah, I want to take Nebula, but I don't want to take Gamora. And since you're one of the like rare Gamora-loving unicorns, I wanted to see if you had like what you thought of the card. Because like that's as far as the conversation seems to go over Daughters of Thanos.
I love Gamora. I think she's great. I just, looking at Daughters of Thanos, like the requirements that you need to pull that card off, you need like the stars to align, is how I look at it.
I could see like some kind of like wacky rocket boots drop off Daughters of Thanos play, but that's three tactics cards for a gimmick.
That's how I feel about the whole rocket boots drop off Proxima and Corvus is. You're putting so much of your resources into one play that might actually fail you.
Yeah. No. I definitely see the inherent risk in that. Spoiler alert for those of you who haven't been following my rantings and ravings in some of the Discords. I'm entirely convinced that there's a Defenders team that uses the Doctor Strange portals and uses Hela to pick up the herb, teleport through, and then Valkyrie Rocket Boots drops off Hela on the herb catcher round one. And there's like, there's essentially no way to like drop Hela or get her off of the thing because she's essentially on the deployment line for virtually all of that. So I might try and play that in the second half of the league, but burning three tactics cards. You have to be doing something insane, and even then, it's probably not worth it.
You can. I haven't looked at it since it was first like leaked or shown off. You can actually go through the portals while you're holding an objective.
Yes.
Okay, so that card's going to be super busted in every single Defenders list.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it because I've got a symbol open right now. It's Pentagram of Pharla, right? So during the power phase, Doctor Strange or Wong may spend two to play this card, place a Mystic Portal token within one of the characters who played the card, then place a Mystic Portal token within five of the same character. And any time during a character's activation while within one of a Mystic Portal, they can spend a power once per turn to be placed within one of another Mystic Portal. So you kind of put Strange in the middle of the board. He places the five range portal kind of like diagonally to the left, straight at the herb, and then he puts the other one diagonally to his right, straight at the herb container. Though I don't think it exactly matters on the range one because you're gonna drop her off anyways, so you just need to get Valkyrie nearby. But if you do it correctly, since Hela's base is so big, she can double move, pick up the herb, and teleport.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's very cute. I don't think it's good. But you can play it at 15 points. I really want to force it into somebody. It hasn't made it into my dojo time yet.
I think the only issue that I see coming up with that, because your opponent can use the portals too. I think the only issue is you're opening yourself up to just get completely backsided.
Well, the thing is, the only activations I use to actually do this, because the portals aren't an activation, it's literally just Hela and Valkyrie. So if somebody tries to go through the portal, Doctor Strange, and you can even just say, okay, I don't care about the herb. I can go pick it up, walk back to my teleport back to my deployment line, and then everyone just wails on whoever comes through the portal. And then you just stand on the herb catcher next round.
That's fair. Like it kind of sets it up to where it's like it lets you be able to get the herb, but it also allows your opponent, but it also kind of brings in that risk of who's going to go for it and who's going to get beat.
Yeah, one of the nice things is, what's it called? Since you have to drop off to get Hela there, it's actually more than a medium advance away from the second portal to being able to attack her, unless you have a range 3 attack. So it's not like they get to go through the portal and just start double attacking her, unless they like teleport like Shuri or someone. But then, I think it's a gimmick. I can't tell how good it is. I want to find out. But that's enough of a digression. Jesus, my English is not working today. Crisis swaps. Are there any crises you'd pull out? I know you talked about how Gamma Wave you were kind of using as a bit of a mind game. Would you swap it out for something a little bit more utilitarian? Does Black Order... it sounds like you don't like Black Order Descends, but does that or Spider Portals or Monacy Formula or Demons Downtown has our comeuppance come due? It feels like a tongue twister to say. Do any of those appeal to you?
I think the Ghost Rider one is really interesting just because it kind of plays into, I think that one'd be fun to play. I think I might swap that out for Gamma. It's the same lineup.
You like going wide. It's high threat. I can see a lot of upside to it from how you were playing this.
Yeah. Not even that, but that stuff too, but it allows for my game plan to be easier because it allows Guardians who are already punching up above their weight class. If your opponent tries to go for the objectives at all, then they're going to be minus the defense, which sure, like I'll take it.
Yeah. I think that's definitely solid when you have characters that care less about being incinerated. Especially if you keep Corvus and Proxima in the lineup, because their flat damage reduction is often bigger than their defense pools. So I think there's a lot of quality stuff here.
Yeah, I think that'd be what I go for.
Okay, well, I think that's going to wrap us up for this segment. Before we cut you loose, is there anything you want to shout out or plug? Obviously, the Danger Room. We're going to put a link at the top of this when we post it.
We'll go ahead and plug the Danger Room. Yeah, a new episode comes out every Monday, or try to get it out every single Monday.
Okay, you guys are tomorrow. Monday, so I've been releasing on Tuesdays, and I need to move because that's when Across the Bifrost does it. So I was going to move it to Monday, but now that I know that you guys do Monday, because I haven't been paying attention to when people release stuff, I'm going to move to Wednesday.
I think Wednesday is solid. I think Turn Zero, they've been more sporadic lately, but they were typically on Thursdays, or Friday, somewhere in there. It just depends on when Sugi can actually go through and edit.
From what
I gathered. But they were typically like Friday or Thursday or like somewhere in the later end of the week. And then House Party Protocol, they do Tuesdays or Thursdays is kind of what it seems like. I think it's Tuesday for them too as well.
Okay, yeah. So it sounds like Wednesday's open. And for all of my listeners, be sure to check out Danger Room. It will have come out 2 days before this comes out, so there will be something hot off the presses for you right after you finish this episode. Thank you again for joining me, Dizzard. I guess we should shout out the Tabletop Simulator Discord. I don't think I've ever actually linked that in any of the show notes before, even though every single guest we've been talking about playing through Tabletop Simulator because of the quarantine. So I'm also going to put a plug to that for anybody who's catching this but hasn't got involved in Tabletop Simulator League. We're doing Season 3 right now. That's going to go through until roughly the end of the year, and then we're probably going to do something in January. I'm not sure if anything's been nailed down to that effect yet.
Yeah, we'll have to see what comes up. But I guess one other plug I have, or shout out rather, is just to AMG for putting together an amazing game that we all love and enjoy. And
quickly big props to AMG.
a game that's quickly encompassing all of our lives.
I can't go anywhere. All I can do is Marvel Crisis Protocol.
Exactly.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining me, and thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
See ya.
See ya.